May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In my Greek New Testament, the story of our gospel begins with the words, And so, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. Something has just happened, which explains why Jesus came to Bethany the week before Easter. And what had just happened was Jesus' controversial argument with the Jews. Their leaders were intent upon killing Jesus. And just before the events in our gospel today began, Jesus had withdrawn to a place of quiet and security. But now, the time had come, and so he returns to dangerous territory. He comes first in our gospel today to his friends at Bethany. Of course, they arrange a supper for him. They do this not in their own home, but in the house of Simon the leper. Lazarus, the close friend Jesus had raised from the dead, was one of the guests who reclined with the Lord at the table. Martha, characteristically, was serving. But let's get started by filling out the story of Mary of Bethany and this wonderful scene in this morning's gospel. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary has some strange instinct that this moment is a crucial one, a very solemn one. The Lord has returned now to a place too close to Jerusalem, where his life is in danger. And she at least will show her devotion. And she will do this in such a way as to prove that it is based upon her genuine gratitude. Now, in St. Luke's Gospel, there is another story about a woman who comes and anoints Jesus. And one of them is somebody I trust a great deal. It's William Temple, the former Archbishop of Canterbury from the last century. Some, like him, have suspected a link between the two stories. And what I'm about to say is based on his thoughts. So maybe it could be interpreted like this. Long ago, according to St. Luke, when she was still a woman in the city and a troubled one, she had crept into the place where a special someone was reclining. Someone to whom her affectionate heart, her affectionate heart was wholly given. She had brought an alabaster jar of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, she began to wet his feet with the tears of her shame and sorrow, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And the Lord had said, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." That was the moment of her forgiveness, according to Luke. Since then, she had been a devoted friend of her Saviour. And now, here in St. John's Gospel today, he is in danger. A great crisis is before him. She wants desperately to show her devotion and the gratitude which is its source. So she reenacts that earlier scene. It would have been natural to anoint the head of the honored guest. And St. Mark, when he tells the story as he heard it from St. Peter, mistakenly says that this is what she did. Even if St. Peter's recollection of the event was not faulty, it was very easy for his interpreter, St. Mark, to miss the point. But St. John knew what was happening. And by his repetition of the words, his feet, he shows that he is correcting St. Mark's natural mistake. Mary does just what she did before, but with one exception. Then there had been tears, but now there are none. For there is no remorse or shame in her devotion now. It is sheer gratitude and love. It is probable that in most of us, the spiritual life is impoverished and stunted because we place so little importance on gratitude, on thankfulness. We need to learn that it is more important to thank God for the blessings received than it is to badger him for them in the first place. All our love towards God is in the response to his love for us. It never starts on our side. We love, says St. John, because he loved us first. And his love is most of all shown in his treatment of our sin. God, says St. Paul, God commends his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the fact which demands our gratitude and inspires our love. Now, Mary's anointing of Jesus was an act of deep thanksgiving and worship. Jesus approves of it, but many of us feel inclined, don't we, to agree with Judas when he says that the expense of worship ought to have been redirected towards the poor and needy. Okay, maybe there is a case for over-lavish expenditure on worship to be redirected to the poor. But love is the best thing there is. The value of the beauty of holiness cannot be measured. And what represents its best moments shares that pricelessness. Jesus says, the poor you have with you at all times, but you do not always have me. The Lord would soon be taken away from Mary and the others. And it is only at moments of vivid insight that any of us perceive his abiding presence. At such times, there is a fervor in our love for the Lord, who is always with us. And such fervor will only rarely be found in our kindly attitude towards the poor. Such kindness to the poor may be genuine enough. And what we do for them is done to him, as he says. But it lacks the completeness of the love which is adoration. The best thing is love itself. And Mary's worship of Jesus is not selfish and not at all disproportionate. Now, just before we finish, let's look just briefly at Judas Iscariot. It is only here in this passage that Judas is called a thief. Quite apart from this, it appears that this man, who is about to betray Jesus, would be quite incapable of appreciating Mary's devotion to the Lord. So Jesus says to Judas, let her alone, that she may keep it for the day of my preparation for burial. The day of his death and burial is not far distant. The ointment can be used then. Will Judas think it too costly for that? John then returns us to the beauty of holiness by writing that the house was filled with the smell of the ointment. It doesn't matter if our church meets in a shed or in a medieval architectural masterpiece. What does matter is that our worship, like Mary's, should be filled with beauty and love. And that every church and every Christian home increasingly be filled with the fragrance of devoted love for the Lord who loves us, for our fellow Christians, and for our needy world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.